Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Wow, y'all sure are talkative this morning. My goodness, I hate to interrupt social hour. Boy, I love social hour. I hate to interrupt it. But we got a lot to do, and then we want to have a little conversation talking at the end this morning. So let's get started here and begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are, Father, for your word and for your spirit and for giving us the opportunity to come together and open the word and study it and grow the knowledge of Jesus Christ, fulfill all the functions and purposes of the local church. And Father, we pray that this morning will be glorifying to you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'd like you to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 216. 216. You will note that Great is Thy Faithfulness is written by Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. Now, he had a very difficult early life. And like somebody we used to hear about when I was growing up in school, he was born in a log cabin. But this was in Kentucky. In 1866, he suffered physical weaknesses and problems all of his life, even especially into his adulthood. Sometimes he would just have to lay down in bed, and he worked wherever he could get a job every now and then doing things. But he grew. He believed in Jesus Christ as Savior when he was 27 years of age. And he would study and read the Bible, and he became especially interested in Lamentations 3:22-23. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. In 1923, he sent a few poems to his musician friend, William Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N, in Baldwin, Kansas, and Runyon was deeply touched by one of the poems and prayed for God's guidance in composing music for it. The hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, was published in one of Ryan's small little hymn books and kind of really lost there. And it was decided to have his students sing the hymn in the school, Bible school. So, in fact, Dr. Houghton would stand up and he'd say to the men, "Well, I think we shall all have to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness in the midst of chapel time in the school." And it became, as you know, one of the beloved hymns. So let's stand and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Okay, a few announcements just to orient. First of all, we have, 2 weeks from tonight to this Sunday. So we have one more Sunday in February. So 2 weeks from now it'll be the communion Sunday, in which we like to fellowship and eat together. And the theme will be Italiano. Spaghetti, ravioli, lasagna, pizza, you're dismissed, I want to go eat. And so just bear that in mind, and this will be posted in the back so that you'll have that in mind. Also, just for you to know, now taking our time, we got the Risley's newsletter, and Leslie will put this on the prayer list or internet list. You'll get it. And so you'll have that. That way they don't have to send us a great deal. Now, in regard to prayer, we need to be in prayer for John and Judy Hintz. We need to be in prayer for Courtney. And Courtney's special prayer request, as you know, every day that the baby stays in the womb, it increases the chances of survival and all when the baby's born. Well, now the insurance company is trying to balk on paying and having anything to do with it, saying that she really isn't doesn't live here. She lives in Mexico, and she got her medical degree in Mexico and all of that. And she's always kept her legal address in the United States, Sierra Vista. And they even went to the Risley's website, which had said that she planned on, when she graduated from med school, practicing medicine in Mexico, working with the mission field. And she told him, she said, yes, that was my plan. But right now, no way would I try to rear a child there. I'm going to rear him here in America. And so we're going to be residing in Sierra Vista. And so anyway, just be in prayer that will work out to where the bills are paid. And for her added continual health in that condition. Also dealing with Tucson, a man that we've been in prayer for, Ron, he's a veteran in Tucson, is critically ill. He had planned a C scan to determine the high risk surgery, but that had to be postponed due to just the severity of his case, where he is. So we need to be in prayer for Ron, his wife, and the rest of his family for guidance and for peace and at this time. Let's see, any prayer requests for here that I'm not aware of? Yes?
I wasn't made aware of a rash of heroin overdoses.
Here? Where are y'all getting it? Okay.
All completely separate.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. And we're going to, when you talk with her, and you can tell your daughter, I pulled an outside hit on her, I'm going to pray that she'll have the opportunity to give the gospel to some of those people that she cares about. So let's make that part of our prayer, that God the Holy Spirit will not only work in regard to these people, but maybe Amber being the spokesman for the witness of Christ in the midst of all of that. So thank you very much. Yes. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity. In other words, not bemoaning and regretting the giving of the money. And so, though this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit, so the whole issue in giving is it's for the believer, but really it's for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit and is filled with the Spirit in regard to giving. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, it is our custom to reflect on the two spheres of freedom that are involved in this facet of worship. Political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country. The freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, for the men and women who have served and are serving at this very hour in harm's way, our nation's history, to secure this freedom, this political, economic freedom. We value it. For the first time in our lives, we see strong threats to the economic, political freedom that we have enjoyed through the history of this country. I pray, Father, that you will sustain the freedom, that we might continue the spreading of the gospel. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. The choices that we have to make through the day, dealing with our time, our money, the church we will worship and why. All these things. Father, we pray now that you receive these offerings, that you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel in all the ways that you've given to us, through the internet, CDs, tapes, publications, speaking, and our own assembly. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, sir. I get to turn in your hymnals, and we're going to take a... Brian, you're here! Oh, wonderful! I was just getting ready to say, we really need a director for this song, and 425. Oh, you snuck in on me. Wonderful, all right. My goodness. Boy, just snuck right in here. I was just sharing with you something sometime... You know, I've lived alone, you know, 35 years, my adult life, whatever, and got married. Every now and then, Judith will walk, and I mean, I'll jump. I'll turn around, huh, what are you doing here? And she, what, you got a guilty conscience? No, I've just, all my life, nobody's been right there when I turn around. And so Brian just snuck right in on me. I'm not used to people sneaking in on me. Okay, very quickly, a little about... This wonderful hymn. It's John W. Peterson said, let's see, the Montrose Bible Conference grounds in Montrose, Pennsylvania, has been the site of many wonderful Christian things, but John Peterson says, during one of the sessions, an opportunity for a time of personal testimony was given the audience. An older man, Jim, rose to his feet and told of his conversion experience. I love to hear people's story, how they came to believe in Jesus Christ. But anyway, in describing that night when he met Christ, he used the phrase, "It seemed like heaven came down and glory filled my soul." Right away, I sensed that it would be a fine title for a song. So I wrote it down and later in the week completed the song. It became a favorite almost immediately. The song, born that day in 1961, has blessed many people. And John Peterson's gone on to write 1,000 songs, 15 cantatas, and many more things, and millions of copies of all of this. And so let's sing Heaven Came Down. I was just going to sing two verses, but boy, all three are powerful. So we'll just have to take the time and sing all three. But let's play it through one time so they can get the idea. Let's stand, listen to it one time, and then we'll sing it together. I'm so glad you're here. You'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. This May, I will have been teaching the teaching ministry for 37 years. I can honestly say I think that this morning is going to be the most important message I've given on faith in that whole time. We're going to learn how you can have the same faith Abraham had. What are the mechanics? Because they're told to us right here. We're told the mechanics. Before Abraham believed, before Abraham's faith was not weakened, before Abraham grew strong in faith, two things happened. So we're going to look at these things. So let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if the Holy Spirit is teaching you so you can see these things we're going to look at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this book. Seems like every verse we learn something new, more rich. And now, Heavenly Father, as we move into the study of this man that Paul uses as an example of faith, justification by faith, living by faith, some 4,000 years ago from us, and yet the formula is still the same. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to look on how to grow strong in faith. How it can be so easy for you to just trust God in the most difficult of circumstances of your life. It's going to be very simple. Take a look at it. The first thing we want to do is look at Romans 4:20. Romans 4:20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he, Abraham, did not waver in unbelief, no doubting, but grew strong in faith, or, as we have dealt with it, was strengthened in the exercise of his faith. Not strengthened in faith, but strengthened in the exercise of his faith, or, when I like, it became easier for him to just trust, to exercise faith. Now, actually, the definite article translates it, that faith. That same faith whereby he was imputed righteousness. And it is because it became easier and easier for Abraham to just trust him with a grain of mustard seed all the way up to that great event of offering his son as a sacrifice. We look at that, and wow, boy, that must have taken a lot of faith, or how could he have done that, and all these things. I'm going to show you it was very simple, very easy for him. It was not traumatic for him to have to do that. Giving glory to God. Now here is the object of Abraham's faith. And more he knew about God, people, the more he trusted God, it became easier for him to trust him on the next day. The more he learned about God, the more he trusted God, it became easier for him to trust God. Now I want to look at the phrase, giving glory. Giving glory. And this is so important. I wouldn't do this if it wasn't important. This is not to impress you. I want to show you how you too can develop the same faith of Abraham. Giving glory is an aorist tense, active voice participle of the verb didomi, which means to give. To give glory. What's important here? See that aorist participle? What is important in dealing with faith of Abraham is that the action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. The main verb, giving glory to God, comes before growing in faith. The main verb, he grew in faith. Something happened before then, though. Before he became strong in faith. So, the greater glory, people, here's the principle. The greater glory you give God in spiritual warfare of your life, the easier it's going to be for you to trust Him in the difficulties of life. How can you? I don't care what the difficulty is. Financial loss, cancer, sickness, death of someone you love, parent, child, husband, wife, friend, whatever happening, and you spend time giving glory to God. And we're going to see what this truly means. What it truly means. This isn't just something you say. You sit and think, giving glory to God. People, you cannot help but trust Him in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. You get your eyes on the circumstances, they become big. But before that, if you give glory to God, giving glory to God comes first. So the greater glory you give God, the easier it's going to be for you to trust Him. Okay, let's take a look now. First, Abraham gave glory to God. Then it was easier for him to trust God. Just became so easy the more he gave glory to God. To trust God with a grain of mustard seed. Now, what made it easy for Abraham to simply trust God? He considered God. Took all that he knew about God, all that he had learned about God, recognized the glory of God, the brilliance of God, the omnipotence of God, and he came to the conclusion, I can trust Him. In the most difficult of circumstances, I can trust Him. So in reference to faith, trusting God, trusting Jesus Christ, trusting the Holy Spirit, okay? First, you must know them. You must know them. Who they are, who God is, things about God, who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is. This does not occur overnight, people. I'll put this on here on purpose. This does not occur overnight. Does not occur in a short period of time. Doesn't occur going to Bible class every now and then. We're talking about the faith of Abraham. Not talking about anyone else's faith right now. This kind of faith. That believed in spite of the fact he was sexually dead, that God would give him an heir. The kind of faith that would offer his son as a sacrifice. How did all of this happen? People, it did not happen in a short period of time. This occurs by a combination of two things. And we're talking about knowing them. Knowing the Father, knowing the Son, knowing the Holy Spirit. Want to learn to walk by faith? Want to learn to have the faith of Abraham? Okay, there are two things that come up with this point. One, first, this is to know by years of abiding in His Word. The blue highlighted words are various verses in the Bible. By abiding in His Word, listening to His Word, keeping His Word, getting under some pastor teacher who studies His Word and teaches His Word in truth. It takes time. It takes time. There was a period in my life where I had the opportunity to know various pro golfers on the pro tour. One of them was out of Houston, Babe Hiskey. Go over, the guy just hours hitting a little white ball. Hours hitting a little white ball. Hours and hours taking, having his wife take a video of him and the old-fashioned kind of video things and study them over and over. And he wasn't great. He made the tour, made a little money, but it just didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of work. So the first thing, to know them so that you're able to give him glory, got to know him. You know them by years of abiding in his word, listening, keeping, getting under a pastor teaches. This is what is meant by the verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's what that means. You can't just generate this faith all of a sudden when disaster hits. Faith of Abraham takes time. Then, and as important, walking by faith. Actually seeing God work in your life. Don't have time to go through Abraham's entire life. There he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. His father was a high priest in the worship of Allah. Believed God, believed in the coming Messiah. This God said, walk, leave this home. Wow. Okay. Took what belongings he had and left. Didn't want to leave his father, though. Still held on. So God took his father home. Killed him. Took him out. Kept walking. Went up in Egypt. He failed. People, he failed. He failed about his father. He failed about lying to Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. So that Pharaoh wouldn't kill him, so that she could have him, so that he could have Sarah, who apparently was a very beautiful woman. He failed, but he didn't stop. Pharaoh gave him a lot of stuff and said, "Get out of Egypt." So he went back to walking by faith and trusting God. Go through the whole life of Abraham from the very beginning and just start piecemealing. He learns about God here. He learns about God. He learns about God providing food and substance in the journey. He learns about God in warfare. He learns about God in all these adventures and going on and on and on. He walked by faith. So there are two things happening in his life. First of all, he was gathering a great understanding about God. And then the experience of walking by faith with God. With each stage, it is easy for you to simply trust Him, even though the test may be more severe in your life. It's a base example, but it's kind of like the idea. We start out, big exam. What's 2x2? 2x2. More, got it. See? By the time you're in algebra, that's a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake. You just, each day, each step became more difficult. The test became more difficult. The trusting became easy. Well, let's see. I trusted Him yesterday. He fulfilled my trust. He took care of things. I'm going to trust Him today. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. So I want you to see the two things that are involved. Okay. This is seen in the passage, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, we can understand this, no test, has overtaken you, but such is not common to man, and God is faithful. Okay, here comes the awareness of God. What's one thing we learn about God? God's faithful. I don't ever want to forget that. Don't want to forget God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. That's powerful when you hurt. So there's the faithfulness of God, who will not allow you to be tempted, tested, beyond what you're able. Now, how are you able? By growing in your knowledge of Him and walking by faith in Him yesterday. Walk by faith yesterday, that's easier. Tests become more difficult. See? Okay. Knowing that He is able, we are able to simply trust Him. See, you're occupied with Him. You've given Him the glory, His faithfulness, He's omnipotent, omnipresent. It's His plan, it's His glory, it's His Son, it's His Spirit, da-da-da. I'm going to trust Him. So, the more you're able to think about Him and give Him glory, we're more able to simply trust Him. But with the temptation, will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Doesn't take it away necessarily. Got to be able to endure it. Okay, first, you have to know Him, each member of the Godhead. Then, you will find it easier and easier to trust Him as things get more difficult in your life. See? This is the whole point. Things get more difficult in your life, becomes easier and easier to trust Him. If you've walked with Him, trusted Him, grown in your understanding of Him, your knowing of Him, your fellowship with Him. Stronger in faith simply means not more faith, but easier to trust Him. That's very important to me that you get that down. Stronger in faith. Abraham became stronger in faith. People don't think of faith as a muscle that can be developed. All God is ever looking for is a grain of mustard seed. And that'd be just a tiny little splint of a muscle. And that same muscle is what you use now through greater disasters and testings and sufferings and all these things that happen in our life. Still, all He's looking for is a grain of mustard seed. And again, I want to repeat, you better be thankful, because sometimes that may be all you can come up with. You've been walking with the Lord, you've been kind of growing in His Word, all these things, and then something really damaging hits you. Knocked you down. Use a football expression, blindsided you. And you're lying there on the field. All you can come up with is a grain of mustard seed of faith. That's all He's looking for. That's all He's looking for. Okay? That's all that he wants. So first you have to consider God, His omniscience, His omnipresence, His omnipotence, His faithfulness, His love. It's easy to trust Him. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. Things going horrible in life. Creator of all things. Just think about that. Here is this in the midst of horrible things. And people, I'm not making this up. This is what you got to do if you want the faith of Abraham. Stop looking at the horrible circumstances. Think about Jesus Christ. He created the whole universe. Created all things. Can He not handle my little problem here? Absolutely. He created gravity that holds this whole thing together. He created man and the whole way our body functions. He created all these things. So in the midst of continual turmoil in your life, disappointments, you first think that He created all things and you start to just calm down. This one's on my side. The more you know about God, the more you give Him glory, the easier it is to trust Him. People think about it. What's the story of Job? I almost want to take time to go through with you again. What's the story of Job? The story of Job is Job's faith crashed. He had a false view of God. When God stepped in, first of all, we have the statements by his three so-called friends. What does God do? Where were you when I created everything? Where were you when I defeated the seven-headed dragon? Could you do that? Could you defeat the seven-headed dragon? And we could add things. Where were you when I put my son on the cross? Where were you when I provided eternal life for you? I'm God. And Job went through all these things, and the more he learned about God, the more he understood about God, he ends in chapter 42 with, I retract everything I've said. You're God. I trust you. 41 chapters, and he gets to 42. But he had to learn about God. He had to learn about Him. Sitting on a hill with his body in scabs. his wife telling him to curse God and die. It's a fine thing for your wife to say. Go ahead and die. See? A lot of them may think it, but they don't usually say it. But she just right out said it. And then he started learning about God. And the more he learned about God, you're able, you're God, you're... Boy, I can just trust you. I don't have to perform for you. As a matter of fact, now that I know who and what you are, I can't perform for you. That's a wonderful place to come to in life. To know so much about God, not only will I not have to perform for you, I can't. And you're the kind of God who doesn't want me to perform for you. You want to perform for me, I give you the glory. How can you not trust that kind of God? Another place to see what must come first is in 2 Corinthians 5:14, and I put it on the board for you. For we, the love of Christ controls us. Wow. But note what preceded being controlled by the love of Christ. What preceded it? Having concluded. Before he's controlled by the love of Christ, he concluded something about this love. That one died for all, therefore all died. First he examined something about Christ's love. Then he came to the conclusion that being in control by this love is where he wanted to be. Wow, that's that love I want to be. That's the love I want to have. I had a young married or singles class. Thing I would teach, you don't want to get somebody love you because of your money, because you do this, because you want them to be so attracted to the way you love. You know, this guy, the bald hair, excuse me, got bald head. This guy's got pudgy stomach. This guy doesn't make a million. This guy does. But you know what? I just love the way he loves. I'm controlled by the way he loves. I want to be under that. That's what we have here. Paul examined this kind of love and said, that kind of love, I want to control me. Verse 15, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Okay. Why will we desire to love as Christ loved? When we've experienced that love. I want you to experience what I experience when Christ loves me. I don't want you to experience my wrath. I don't want you to experience what a jerk I am. I don't want you to experience my anger. I want you to experience the love that Christ has for me. Because that, people's the only way somebody's going to experience this love. He's not here. He's gone. And it's going to be through one believer loving as Christ loved. But in order to do that, I've got to know how he loved. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did you love me? And the more we know about how he loves, the easier it will be to want to love as he loves. Okay, Romans 4:21. And being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. How easy it is to trust this kind of God. It's easy. We should all go strong in our faith as we grow in our learning about him. And look at that first little and. Continue by why Abraham grew stronger in his faith. Why it was easy for Abraham to trust God. And, so you have, having given glory to God, now something more occurs. And, being fully assured. And guess what? That is an aorist participle also. That precedes growing strong in faith. You see what's happening here? We're told how Abraham had that great faith. One, gave glory to God. You give glory to God in the midst of crisis. You're occupied with him, not with your circumstances. It'll be easier for you to trust him and not be occupied with the circumstances and come under stress, anxiety, depression. And now secondly, having given glory to God and being fully assured, aorist passive participle. The verb means to carry something, that is to bring to fullness, to fulfill, to accomplish. This presents one of the greatest places you can be in your life, people. Fully convinced. Total confidence in God. Total confidence in God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, without any hesitancy. You know God this well, that you are fully persuaded, fully assured. And this action precedes the action of the main verb, stronger in his faith. You want to grow stronger in your faith? You want to make it easy to trust him in the midst of what's going on in your life? Give glory to God and be fully convinced that he is able. How can you not trust a God like that? I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what you're going to do with these circumstances. But you know what? That's your problem. I'm going to trust you. I'll be out at the pool sunbathing. When you come up with a solution, let me know. It's your problem. See? And people, we can all have that kind of faith. But this kind of faith isn't just something you manufacture. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. You grow in your knowledge and your understanding of Christ, of God, of Holy Spirit, and then you become fully convinced of who and what they are. Give glory to God. Be fully convinced. Total confidence in God. And people, no. I'm not. This isn't something you have to say. This is not something, I give you a test. I dare say, every one of you, 100 of you would say, I am fully convinced that God is able. So every one of you get 100. Then a disaster hits in your life, and it isn't reality. It isn't reality. This is something you can't fake, what I'm talking about here. And you know what? You'll know. You'll know. When I was in school, get a test, boom. Well, there it is. There's proof. I didn't know the subject. Or I did. You can say whatever you want to say. But when disaster hits, do you go into SAD? Anger, fear, worry, panic. Then you know one thing about yourself. I'm not fully persuaded. I know I should be. Yeah, you get a check for that. I know he is. Yeah, you get a check for that. But you don't believe it. You don't believe it. It's not part of who and what you are. See, the faith of Abraham takes time. The faith of Abraham takes a long time. Failures along the way. And we all fail. That's why you don't want to point your finger when another believer fails. You want to restore them, says Paul in Galatians 6. Restore them. Get them back up. Get them out of Egypt, walking on with the Lord. Like Abraham. You don't belong in Egypt? Get out of there. That's what you want to do. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to judge. This just comes over a period of time. And you reach that point. I'm convinced today. And I'm convinced. Fully persuaded. And as the tests get harder and harder, I'm persuaded. God can do this. God, I want you to take... Abraham, I want you to take the son that I promised you. And I want you to offer him a sacrifice. Ah! No? Okay. You know what? You know what? You're able to give life. You gave life to my dead body. You're going to bring back to life the Messiah. You can bring back Isaac. I believe that. Okay. That's easy. But how long did it take him to get to that point, people? He wouldn't have offered Ishmael way back then. He wouldn't have done that. And Ishmael wasn't even the son of promise. But by the time it's there, because of these things, growing in the knowledge of Christ, walking in the faith, seeing these things happen, giving glory to God, becoming fully persuaded, God is able, I can do it. I can do it. So this isn't something, and we're not going to raise hands. This is something only you know. We all know the right answer. Is God able? Oh, I got it. Yes, I got that one. That's a trick question. I got it. Is God able? Do you give God glory? Oh, I give Him glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then a crisis hits. Now, is He able? Now, do you glorify Him? See? The proof is in the trusting. Proof's not in the pudding. Proof's in the trusting. That's where the truth is. Just trust in Him. The passive voice, the subject receives the action of the verb Abraham receives, being fully convinced about God. Question, where does Abraham receive being fully convinced? What an emotion. Let me give you some. One, Abraham received this confidence from doctrine, knowledge of the Bible in his soul. Knowledge about God in his soul. About God, about knowing God, about God's plan. Gonna make you a father of many nations. He knows God's plan. Two, he received this confidence from a lifetime of trusting Him. Failing? Yes. Getting up and walking and trusting? Yes. Seeing it over and over how God is faithful. I can take my own life. Paul does this, I'll do it. Since I was 7 years old, I've seen God just faithful in my life. I've seen me fail. I've seen God come along. Okay. I'm going to get you out of Egypt. I'm going to take you here, take you there. Is He going to drop the ball? He's not going to drop the ball. I don't believe that. I can't tell you. All I do is I know. So you got to know Him, be fully persuaded. Give Him the glory, be fully persuaded. And then three, by both of these, take time. The growing in the knowledge and the understanding about God, His plan, His word, and then a lifetime of walking by faith takes time. First tense here takes his whole life, puts it into one lump sum. Takes all the growth in knowledge, all the walking by faith, takes it into one lump sum. People, this makes life a wonderful journey, a wonderful experience. I don't care if you fail, just get up and keep walking. I don't care if somebody you know, it's a believer, I don't care if they fail, you just help them up. It's not about judging and competing and biting and devouring and judging. It's about this journey, helping them to get to this faith, to this point of just trusting Him, where you walk by faith. And you actually see God working here and working there and working in your life. And this makes life a wonderful journey. Not one of stress, anxiety, depression. People, you can't take a pill for spiritual stability. For spiritual SAD. You can't take a pill. You can't take a drink out of the bottle for this. I'm sorry, you're not going to get it overnight either. We may be headed for some rough time. America has been a nation under glass. Been under glass. As Christians, we've been under glass. We're like a pheasant under glass. Been protected. Study history. Christians have been abused and murdered. In fact, study current history all over the world right now. See how Christians are treated. Why do you think it's not going to happen here? Oh, this is so horrible. Wait a minute. You're in Christ. The world hates you. Wake up. That's the thing that Christ told His disciples before He was crucified. The world hates you and they're going to do bad things to you. Don't be afraid. I'm sending you one that's more powerful than the world. I'm sending you my Spirit. The crisis comes in our life. Faith can be very easy, as it was with Abraham. Being fully assured that what he had promised, that the conjunction often follows a mental activity. Mental activity. What glorifies God starts out people in the soul, in the mind. Understanding God is in your mind. How we live overtly is a result of what's going on in our mind. Thoughts precede action. We saw this in stress, anxiety, depression. How thoughts precede. We studied how to do. And you have a thought, that's why you become depressed. You have a thought, that's why you become depressed and all these things. Anxiety. Stressed out. Thought precedes. These things don't just happen. Thoughts precede them. You choose to be stressed. You choose anxiety. You choose depression. And I've had people fight me on that until we just worked it out and showed. Thought. Phone rings. The other end, your child just died on the highway. Boom! Challenge. Thought. You can immediately go into depression. You can immediately fall apart. Or you can immediately start thinking about God. Thoughts precede action. Well, I got something else for you. Thoughts precede faith. Thoughts precede faith. Who are you trusting? Why are you trusting? What are you trusting Him to do? Thoughts precede action. Thoughts precede faith. Faith precedes action. Faith precedes action. And thoughts precede faith. So you have to choose. You can be occupied with your problems, hopeless circumstances, and so on, or you can be occupied with God, with the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the essence of God, the mercy of God, the perfect plan of God, all the things about God. I certainly do not. Thoughts precede action. Thoughts precede faith. And I should have put up there, faith precedes action. Faith precedes action, people. And thoughts precede faith. You're going to think about God. What are you going to think about Christ? What are you going to think about the Holy Spirit? So you have a choice when these things happen. Stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry, all that, or about God. If you're sitting in SAD, then you know one thing about yourself, people, and I hate to do this, but so just play poker with me. If you're sitting in stress, anxiety, and depression, fear, and anger, bitterness, and all that, you know one thing for sure, you're not fully convinced about God. You're not fully convinced about Him. You haven't given Him the glory. Thought preceded it. So be honest with yourself and stop trying to deny and acknowledge that, you know what, I'm not really fully convinced about God here. I'm not fully giving Him the glory here. I'm more occupied with what's going on than I am God. You'll never have the faith of Abraham. Being fully assured that what he promised, perfect middle indicative, the verb means to make a declaration, to proclaim, to promise, make a public announcement, to summons, to decree. And the perfect tense places emphasis on the present result of the past action. In the past, God made the promise. The present result, the promise stands as far as Abraham's concerned. That what he, God, declared, promised, he was able to perform. Give him all the glory. Confident that he is able. Now I trust him. It's that easy. Just follows in that line. The first thing that had to happen, give God all the glory. If God is able, it's easy to trust him. Just so easy to trust Him. Well, I'm not quite finished. I wished I had been able to complete this section, but there's a little bit more to do, and we'll resume here next Sunday morning. But I hope you're getting to understand how you can have the faith of Abraham. Every one of you can have that same faith. Not overnight. Not overnight. And you'll fail along the way as he did. Don't become discouraged. Don't worry about it. Well, I really blew that. Didn't trust him here. Don't worry about it. He knows. Just get up, walk out of Egypt, and move on. And move on. And you know how bad he failed? He lied twice about his wife and his sister. Not just once. He did it again later. He's in the great chapter of the book of Hebrews about faith. Well, wait a minute, God. You're talking about, what about when Abraham did this? What about when Abraham did that? What about when Samson did this? What about... See, God doesn't do that, people. Only Christians and reporters do that. Only Christians and newspaper reporters will always bring up things you did bad. They can't write an article. They cannot write an article on Richard Nixon without bringing in some way what he did. And that's what Christians are. Christians won't ever let you forget. They will not let you forget. God forgets. The great heroes of the Bible, Abraham, Samson, Solomon's not in there. But Abraham and Samson are in there. Why? They just kept every day growing, growing, trusting, growing, trusting, growing, failing. Trusting, growing, failing, trusting, growing, failing, trusting, growing, failing. And each step along the way became easier and easier for them to trust God. You know what? I've seen God when I failed, and He didn't kill me. He didn't do this to me. He didn't do that to me. Boy, I can trust a God like that. And I failed today again, but you know what? I failed again in the past, and He didn't wipe me out. He's not going to this time. I trust Him. Even our failures, part of the stones, just build our faith. Just build it where we can have the faith that Abraham had. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God You are. We give You glory and pray that we give You glory in times of testing. We know we have all confidence, fully persuaded that You're able. But I pray, Father, we'll have that same assurance in the midst of suffering, testing, adversity, that we can just trust You. Because, Father, that's the greatest glory that we can give You. The greatest glory, the greatest praise we can give You is to just trust You in the midst of suffering, adversity. Thank You so much for what we've seen this morning. Pray that Your Spirit will take these things right out of Your text and then solidify in our souls. Strengthen our own faith. It is so easy to trust You each day. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, we're having a meeting. Yeah.